This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A squealing saxophone is a sound usually associated with rhythm and blues, jazz, and rock and roll. Saxophonist Bernard Johnson wails with that kind of abandon, but he plays gospel music. He plays in churches, not clubs. Johnson started playing the alto as a teenager, although he had terrible asthma. He played jazz and rhythm and blues until he was saved at the age of 17. He says when he started playing for the Lord, his asthma was healed. In the mid-60s, Johnson performed at Southern Tent Revivals. Now he's a star of the gospel circuit and has performed in churches around the world. But he's been virtually unknown in secular circles. That's beginning to change as a result of his recent album, his first on a secular major label. It's called I'm Alive, and it's on the Elektra Nonesuch American Explorer series, a new series which celebrates the varied roots of American music. Johnson often plays with a choir, as he does on this track from his new record. This is Oh Happy Day. Bernard Johnson, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much.
I think most of us think of piano and organ as the primary instruments within gospel music. I can't think of a lot of saxophonists outside of you who I've heard in gospel music. Was there any resistance to you initially because you are a saxophonist?
Oh, plenty. I mean, the radio announcers all around America thought I was a joke. They thought this is just, it couldn't be a real gospel saxophone. When I first started, you know, and they said, this is just something that fly-by-night novelty. It will never take off. And so they wouldn't play me at first.
What about churches? Would churches want you to play saxophone?
Many churches didn't want to have me. And they didn't want to take the risk of saying that they had a, quote-unquote, a devil's instrument in the church, you know, saxophone.
So what makes saxophone such a profane instrument? Is it because of its association with rhythm and blues and jazz?
I don't think so. It's really not a profane instrument.
I meant that in quotation marks.
Yeah, I understand. It's a wonderful instrument, but because it has been used so thoroughly in the clubs and to play rock and jazz, you know. So I think that's the reason why they said, well, it shouldn't be in the church because it's used in the clubs all the time and people dance to it and everything else. So when I started playing gospel saxophone in the church, they had to get used to it. I mean, you know, they had to see that it could be used for the glory of God.
When you started playing gospel saxophone, did you work then with choirs? Because now you can listen to you and say, well, I know that's gospel music because there's a gospel choir. So, you know, even though you're not used to a saxophone, you can tell it's gospel music. But if you took away the choir, it would be less, more ambiguous. So were you playing with a choir at first?
You know, not much. I had a few background singers kind of to interpret what I was trying to say on sax. But then there were just certain songs that I would play solo. But they would be familiar tunes. Like I'd play a song called Never Grow Old. I'd play Precious Lord, Take My Hand. You know, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. You know, and then I'd Amazing Grace. You know, Amazing Grace and a few others. But everybody knew the tunes. So when I'd start playing those songs, they say, oh yes, I know that song. That's gospel. But then I have the ability, and I think thanks to God, I have the ability to compose. And when I do my original material, I always include voices so they can interpret what I'm saying, because it has a little beat with it sometimes, most of the time, you know. I'm alive. I'm alive. You know, and you got to have singers behind you saying it, because if the horn goes... You know, people will understand what you're trying to say on your horn. They say, oh, that's not gospel. But as soon as you put the group, I'm alive. I'm alive. You know, so you put the group with them and they say, hey, that's gospel. So you got to keep some singers to interpret what you're saying.
Can you give us a sense of what you're like in church when you're playing?
Well, here's what I do. Before I come on, I saturate myself with thoughts of God. Try to really, you might, in the church setting, you'd say, get in the Holy Spirit. You know, I try to get in the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to hear from God, see what he wants me to say, see what he wants me to do. And when I get in concert, when I hit the stage, just depends on the way they introduce me. If they bring me on strong, you know, and now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the world's greatest gospel saxophonist, the one and only Dr. Bernard Johnson, then I'm coming on hot. You know, I'm coming on with something, you know, magnify the Lord, boom, none of magnify the Lord, you know, I'm coming on hot. But if they say, ladies and gentlemen, we have the one and only, the world's greatest gospel saxophonist, Dr. Bernard Johnson, a man of God who is anointed by God, Bernard Johnson. I'll come on in a mellow way. I might come on talking. I'm so happy to be here tonight. And I've come to just tell you that I serve the one who sits high and who looks low, and et cetera. And then I'll go into something like, I might go into, if it's a patriotic time, like we just finished with Kuwait, I might start out with, God bless America. Land that I love, you know, and I might come out of that and then hit something, you know, I'm gone after that into a more of an upbeat thing, and then after that, but I guarantee you, it's going to have a variety. People are never bored, that's what they tell me, but it's going to be very, very, very spiritual.
How do you think your sound changed when you were saved?
It became more mellow, very rich tone, more just a tremendous depth to my music. You know, the sound, you might say, like it was kind of yearning, whining, like from the heart. You know,
well, there's this cry in your
like
sound.
Like a cry. That's it right there. Like a cry in my sound. Like I'm begging. You know. You know, if I'm playing Amazing Grace, it's, if I'm getting in that part, I once, oh, I once was lost, you know, but oh, but now, you know, it's begging, oh, now I'm found, yeah, you know, from my heart. Was blind, but now, oh, I, it just pleads, you know. My horn sounds, it pleads like I'm singing, you know. And that's from, I'm singing from my heart, and I'm about to get happy on your radio show. I know you don't want me to do that, but I feel good. Excuse me here. Yeah.
Let's hear something from the new record. The record's called I'm Alive.
Thank you.
That's Bernard Johnson from his new album, I'm Alive, which has just been issued as part of the new Nonesuch Electra American Explorer series. Religion in America is really still pretty segregated, but you've played in black churches and mm-hmm. in white churches.
Right.
You've even played on TV in what is basically a very white ministry
uh-huh.
type right. of programs. What's enabled you to go back and forth like that?
You know, I've wondered about that myself. I was born in Kansas City, and, you know, I was raised in the black church. I have a black background and black religion, black church, you might say. And, in fact, I went to school at Sumner High School. I didn't even go to school with any whites at all or browns until I reached college,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I went to all-black grade school, all-black junior high and high school. When I got to college, you know, we had all these things we were wondering about because I lived in a black community. I had been black all my life. Amen. Black baby, black boy, black man. I didn't know anything about anybody else but black folks. So I got to college. But to answer your question, I went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary when I finished my bachelor's degree. After college, I went to seminary, and that gave me, you might say, a more broader background with the Southern Baptists. Then the National Baptists wrapped their arms around me. The Methodists wrapped their arms around me. And it's something about when you get the learning as well as the burning, that people learn to accept what you have to say, and that they'll receive your music even more. I don't know, it's something about Americans and even people overseas that when you have prepared yourself, they seem to say, aha, aha, you know, I want to hear what he has to say, and they'll accept you more. I don't know why.
What are some of the things that really surprised you when you first started playing in white churches?
Well, you know, I was used to folks shouting, you know. When I get the blowing, you know, folks say, yes, sir, oh, glory, you know, all that. And get up and do the holy dance. You know, I was used to people doing that. Well, you get to playing in white churches. They don't shout no more, but, you know, all they do is just cry a little bit. And you don't know if you're really getting over until you get through it. They give you a standing ovation. If they really love your music, they give you a standing ovation if you move them or if God moved them through you. But while you're in the midst of it, I mean, you don't know where you are. You got to trust God that you're doing all right. But when you're playing for black folks, and I hope nobody's offended, I just really have a lot of fun with you. But when you're playing for black folks, this is true, though. When you're playing for black folks, they let you know where you are. They talk back to you. You can say, the Lord is good. They say, yes, sir. I mean, you know, and I woke up this morning and I found out the Lord had, it wasn't the alarm clock who woke me up. They said, no. It was the Lord who woke me up. They say, yes, sir. And whatever you say, they're going to talk back to you. But the other situations, I mean, you know, my God, you know, it's just like real quiet. You know, like you play for a Methodist church, white Methodist, real quiet. You play for a white Baptist, real quiet. And then at the end, I mean, you might see them, you know, wipe a tear. And I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you what happens, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they'll give you a standing ovation. But that's good, though. I enjoy that. But give me my black folks to talk back to me any day. I want some talking back.
Now, you've played on programs like the 700 Club
yes,
and the PTL Club.
Right.
And no offense to anyone here, but with the exception of Jimmy Swaggart,
mm-hmm.
the music is just like the squarest music on the shows. And you are so really out of context.
Yeah, when I
because you play with such abandon, and it's so it's so jazz and rhythm and blues influenced, mm-hmm. and it's so different from that real like four square kind of singing that you usually hear on those shows. I wonder how you felt being on. If you felt
well,
out of context,
I feel fine. If they let me blow, I'll blow. I just wonder how they feel because I'm not changing my style. I'm just going on. I might adjust a little bit, you know, try to pull it back a little bit for them so it won't really shock them so much. But I'm going to be Bernard Johnson. In the end, it's going to come out Bernard Johnson.
What do you think of the other performers, the other music on the show, the soloists and the quartets and stuff?
I enjoy them. I'm the type of fella, I enjoy any kind of music.
You never say to yourself, gosh, this is square.
Well, I have said it before in my heart, to be truthful. That's probably one of my sins right there. But I do enjoy it. You know, I think there's something for everybody.
Okay. If you're just joining us, my guest is saxophonist Vernard Johnson. He's a gospel musician and now singer as well. His first album on a secular label has just been released. It's on the Elektra Nonesuch American Explorer series. And we're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Gospel saxophonist Vernard Johnson is my guest. Now, your father was a minister, so you grew up
right.
In the church. What kind of ministry did he have?
He was a pastor of the Church of God in Christ. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ, and my dad pastored the Church of God in Christ in Kansas City, Kansas. He just passed about a year ago. And that's where I get all this jubilistic background from, because, you know, we call them the saints. The saints would get happy, and, you know, we'd play in the church, play the music, and it would be a joyous, jubilistic time.
Did you like going to church as a kid? And I assume it was your father's church that you went to.
Yes, I went to my dad's church. And then before that, before he was pastoring, I went to Matin Temple Church of God in Christ. Yeah, I enjoyed it because that's where you can meet the girls at. Yeah, that's where, I mean, you know, you can meet the girls there at the church.
So when you were young and when you were playing, you know, in rhythm and blues bands and things like that, were your parents afraid that you weren't going to ever be a part of the church? That you would stray?
They were really praying for me. I was pretty bad there. I got pretty bad, you know. When I say bad, I wasn't into drugs or anything like that, but I probably would have been into drugs if God hadn't saved me, because I had a cousin, and he and I were running buddies. I mean, we were tight partners. Everything he would do, I would do. Everything I would do, he would do. And he got off into drugs, heavy drugs, cocaine, almost lost his mind, etc. I probably would have been there because we were that tight. But God saved me, but thank God for the church, you know, that had a tremendous influence on what I was doing in my life.
What was your father's style of preaching like?
He was more of a teacher. He really was. Every now and then he would tune up. You know what I mean when I say tune up?
I don't think so.
Well, for example, a regular preacher would just simply say, "The Lord said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." He would say it like this. "And, you know, I heard in the Word of God, the Bible says that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shall condemn." See, that's what you call tuning.
Got it. So that's how he would preach.
Yeah, he would hoop a little bit sometimes. He had a higher hoop than I have, but he would tune up, you know, and I mean, he could go. I mean, he was one of the best preachers. Oh. And a man of God. He really believed in living the life to Christ. He was a wonderful person.
I really love your music, and I'm really... I'm very moved by it, but it's also like really kind of invigorating. But I wonder how you feel about someone like me who really feels they're reached by your music, but not necessarily in a religious way.
Well, you know, I'm excited about it. I really am. If I can help somebody as I go along, if I can cheer someone with a word or a song, if I can show someone who's out there in life taking drugs or any other way that they're going wrong, then my living would not be in vain. And if my music can reach someone, even not in a religious way, but to touch their hearts and give them a sense of feeling better about themselves and lifting their spirits, I feel like I've helped. I feel like my living's not in vain. And so I'm excited about it. I'm excited that you even like my music, if you do.
I do.
I'm excited that you would even listen to my music. And if there's anybody out there who has never heard my music, I would be so honored. I mean, so thrilled, even if you just give me a listen.
One last question. Do you ever find in churches that people still think your playing is a little too far out?
You know what I'm finding now in churches? is that they really want me to blow. I mean, really get down and blow. And by the way, this is my 25th year blowing for the Lord. 25 years. And so now what I'm going through now is people want me to blow. They might say, man, I mean, get down. I mean, don't be holding back. I mean, we want you to do it. We really want you to blow tonight. And so I'm having, if anything, I'm having a, not a struggle, but people are pushing me so to blow harder than ever before. Because they've heard me before, and they say that they know what I'm capable of. And they say, don't short step on me now. Don't half step on me. So they really want me to blow. So it's always nice when I go someplace new and they never heard me blow, so I can kind of take it easy on them that night. And so they think that I've really blown because they don't know I have anything to compare me with. But if they go to the Church of God in Christ and hear me, then they'll say, listen, you have stepped on us. We want you to really blow. So that's what I'm finding nowadays.
Vernard Johnson, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Oh,
thank you very much
privilege.
For being here.
I had a lot of fun talking with you.
Vernard Johnson's album, I'm Alive, is on the Elektra Nonesuch American Explorer series. He performs in Indianapolis this weekend. December 7th, he'll be at Philadelphia's Uptown Theater to perform in a Langston Hughes gospel Christmas play. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.